All right, we are live.
We're live right now.
Hola.
Oh, wow. We are live with the new edition of the Mahoney Movement Show here on Youngstown Studio.
I like the hat, man.
Nice. Oh, thank you. Actually, the martinis got me this for Christmas.
Beautiful.
No calves.
Yeah.
This is our year once again. It's 2016 all over again.
That's it.
Yeah, we're going to win
Kevin
it
Love's
all.
On fire.
He's doing pretty good. You know,
he's my favorite.
Is he?
I got a soft spot for Kevin Love. Well, he struggled until this year, but
he does.
Like
yeah. Yeah, good old Kevin. And he's the only one left from that 2016 team as well.
Right.
So, yeah. Well, thanks for having me again,
Absolutely.
Joe. I thought today, since we don't have a guest, that maybe we just talk a little bit more about the project we are working on down by the Covelli Center, down by the Ween, what do they call it, the Ween Foundation Park downtown. Is that okay?
Absolutely. Have at it.
So we're looking at, again, the GIS that we started last semester in the Applied History program out of the Steele Museum up at YSU. So actually, I've been working a lot on this map since then, but this is still the what's published currently. But by May of this year, we should have a full-on interactive exhibit that's going to be really great. And so we, you know, we've reached out to like stakeholders in the community down here. There's a great collection of businesses down here, and we've kind of informed them what we're working on. We're tracing the history of a specific section down here of downtown, and the extent of which is defined by an 1899 map we call the Mackey map. So James Mackey was one of the pioneers, one of the original founders of Youngstown after John Young bought the land. His son was also, you know, coming up and coming fella in Youngstown, and he was a surveyor in addition to being involved with the iron and steel industry. But he was the one tasked with doing a map when Brown Bonneau was being sold to Republic. So I'm sure most people have heard of the Wicks around here in Youngstown, since we're right by Wick Avenue. So the Wicks, originally, when the original Wicks came in as a preacher, he was one of the founders of First Presbyterian Church up the hill. Then his brother came in, who was had a store right there on Federal Street back in the day. Well, the Wicks started accumulating some money and whatnot. In 1846, they wanted to get in on the iron business. Here you see on the map, we got the canal. That is what really formed modern Ohio in a way. You figure we were originally the western frontier before that. There was no, you know, passing through the Alleghenies was a treacherous multi-week process. There was no good connectivity from west of the Alleghenies to east of the Alleghenies until the canal. So 1840, the Pennsylvania-Ohio Canal connects Pittsburgh to Cleveland, connects Newcastle to Akron, and does it all through Youngstown, Ohio. So the Wicks, you know, being smart fellas, they built a rolling mill right along the canal, 1846, down by the Mahoning River near where the Covelli Center is today. 1854, the Phoenix Blast Furnace is built down here. There it is right there, the Phoenix. The Phoenix Blast Furnace was made down here, so now you're actually producing iron to take to the rolling mills. Then 1856, on the other side of South Avenue down here, the Falcon Furnace was put in. But so going back to the Wicks, the problem is that they were smart fellas, but they really didn't know about actually making iron and operating rolling mills. So the plant failed. And meanwhile, in Newcastle, there was a iron foundry that burnt down, big fire, it all collapsed. So the fellows running that, the Bonnells and Brown, or the Browns and Bonnell, the Wicks reached out to them. They originally wanted to just buy the plant and move it to Newcastle. The Wicks said, no, if y'all want this plant, you got to keep it here in Youngstown. So the Browns and Bonnell moved to Youngstown and started, revived the plant. And it's kind of funny reading the descriptions of it about the old rusted plant. You know, it's kind of like, sound like deindustrialization, but here we are before Youngstown really became industrialized. But the Browns and Bonnell came in, revived the plant, flourishing. It was a launching point to, especially for the Browns, not only to become prominent around here, but also in the iron and steel industry nationwide. The one Brown went to Chicago and was one of the founders of steel along, I can't remember which river it is, in Chicago. But so they began to have a national presence. He got in with Ayers out there, and they had a big steel conglomeration. Well, all that kind of led to Republic Iron and Steel being the largest, one of the largest at the time, nationwide steel production outfits. So Brown Bunnell gets sold to Republic, and that's what brings us to the Mackey map. That was to document the parcels down there for Brown Bunnell being sold to Republic. So when Republic comes in, they get rid of this interesting part of the process, that iron foundry work was highly skilled labor, and it was actually unionized pretty early on. Republic wanted to move away from that skilled, organized labor, and really wanted to get into mass production of steel. So they get rid of the iron foundries down there. And they bring in a Bessemer on the other side of South Avenue. They put in a Bessemer converter, which converts iron to steel, and convert all this down here to a steel mill. They built new blast furnaces. They tore down the Phoenix and Falcon furnaces down here. They built new iron blast furnaces down closer to Struthers. Down here's the Center Street Bridge. You can see today it's pretty vacant. There's big piles of, this is like a stone. I think they sold gravel and whatnot. But other than that, it's pretty empty down here. But back in the day, all this was filled with steel mills. You had Republic over here and the new blast furnaces they built in 1900. And also just downriver, this was all sheet and tube as well. It's interesting. This is an older satellite imagery. So it still shows more of the remnants than you can actually see today. I remember exploring back here a few years ago, and it was pretty treacherous. There was like empty pits you could fall into, but a lot of this has been cleaned up since. And also just recently, right down here was the dam that was just removed, which is going to open it up for kayaking through here, because it was a treacherous dam before. This has all been removed. And we were just talking about how I'd really like to meet Mayor Kett one day. And she's been a great leader in Struthers for actually revitalizing this area as a canoe launch and whatnot. So hopefully in advocating for this Mahoning movement, this Mahoning River Greenway bike trail to connect the Stavage Trail right down around there to connect it. Is that Louisville there? Yeah, here we are in Louisville. So the Stavage Trail goes right along the Mahoning, but then stops when you get to Struthers. So hopefully be able to continue this trail right through where the steel mills were, there's Scene Park, and not only just connect it for hike and bike, but also tell the history of all this. But anyways, back at that dam there, that was part of Youngstown Sheet and Tube. They had the coke ovens on one side of the river, and they'd bring them over to the other side of the river where the blast furnace was at Sheet and Tube. But back to Republic. So they were right over there. They built a new blast furnace in 1900. They would bring the hot iron down on rail right there to where we're dealing with. So you'd have the Bessemer plant there. They got rid of the old iron puddling and built some new bar mills, and lasted there till about 1984. When Republic folded up and the rest of the buildings were slowly demolished on there. There was a really great tall brick building that was the Republic world headquarters for a while there, but that was destroyed in 1996 for not much reason. But all this was pretty empty down here until around, what was it, 2003 or so, and that's when our congressman at the time, a well-known fellow by the name of Jim Trafficant, helped secure the funding to build the Covelli Center down here. So the Covelli Center was built. And then this, like I said, this is old satellite imagery. This still shows before the amphitheater when it was the Ween Foundry. Now, I'd advocated that to say this building right here is part of the Ween Foundry. It was all glass painted gray. And I thought it would have been a better idea to actually save that historic building where some of the locks of the Panama Canal were built, and actually strip off the gray paint off the windows and kind of restore it, and still do the amphitheater down here as part of this land, but save the historic industrial buildings. But alas, just like a lot of things in Youngstown, it was just torn down. But we at least are happy to have an amphitheater now. But so this whole area down here is now called Ween Park. And so going back to talking about some of the businesses around this area covered today, there's Timlin Plumbing right there. There's attorney offices right there. That's the post office, but if you look at the Mackey map, it actually is cut out at that point, or just deals with these sections here. There's A&C Beverage there, MS Consultants. There's Youngstown Flea. There's Valley Foods. And here's the new Penguin brewery they're working on. That was also part of Republic at one point. But now Penguin Brewery is making it their pub house and brewery. When you look at this section here, so here's Crab Creek. And so I call this Crab Creek Cross, and I think the railroads call it that too. But hopefully, these are all active railroads, but hopefully you can also squeeze in a bike trail to connect that there. And this Crab Creek Crossing can also be an important part of the gateway into Youngstown. And if you're, like I said, you got Penguin, you got Youngstown Flea right there, this could be such a great entrance to welcome to Youngstown. Youngstown Tube Company owns that, and they have plans to add on to Youngstown Tube Company. They're up Crab Creek a little bit, but they own this land. They can expand their production there. But I got to meet actually the president of it, Mr. Bill Very, came to a presentation we gave at the Steel Museum at the end of last semester. And so we hope to talk with them further about not only their development of this plan, but still having room to have a bike trail to come through and here, and also talk about the history of this area and about Republic and Brown Bunnell. So imagine Youngstown Tube builds their expansion project here, but you still got bike trail coming through here, talking about the history and the future. Like I said, once you get to over here, this is now the Ween Foundry Park. You have the Youngstown sign there. This has all been redeveloped into having walking trails and whatnot. So it really would be a perfect, the front doorstop of the city. But going back for a second to the very earliest days, according to Higley's book, An Intimate History of Youngstown, the reason why John Young chose this area for downtown Youngstown is because previously Native Americans had burnt the land down here for corn cultivation. And there's a lot of reasons why Native Americans would burn land, like I said, corn production, but also to cultivate small game. A number of reasons. There's actually a lot of interesting research coming out about that in West Virginia about land burning practices there. But so all this, according to Higley, was burnt up into the square. So it was a perfect cleared land right at the river bend for John Young to establish down here, downtown here. So as part of this project at the Applied History Program at Youngstown State University, we're doing the history while also, advocating for its future. So, yeah. Any questions?
No, that was good stuff there. Good presentation.
Thanks. Yeah, it's fun to talk about. And like, we got to meet Brooke. We had her on the show. She's in that class this semester. And so Brooke does an amazing job with websites. We work together on the architecture project. So it's great to have her involved. We'll be developing the website with this history. I'm working on the map. We have a couple undergraduate students that we have working on too, looking at the census data and the works directories and compiling that in. It's fun history, but also it's kind of like we're kind of borderline on science as well. You know, Esri, who makes these map products, their slogan is the science of where. And so even though it's a corporate slogan, I mean, I kind of dig it. You know, that's like thinking about the convergence of the science of where and also the history of our area. I mean, the root of it all is the geology and thinking about the glaciers that came through here and thinking about hydrology, water flow, you know, our Mahoning River, it flows, meets up with the Shenango in Newcastle. see if we can just pick it out and flow down river. Yeah, there we go. There's Newcastle. You can see the convergence of where Mahoning flows into the merges with the Shenango to form the Beaver River. Flow down the Beaver, you go down Beaver Falls and Manaka. Oh yeah, these are interesting people. We talk about philosophy sometimes on the show. There's an objectivist coffee shop in Manaka called The Fountainhead. So I've never read Ayn Rand, but from what looks of it, I wouldn't like her. But you know, Ayn Rand's famous with these objectivist folks, which I know that libertarians are into them, but also there's a whole other subset. I don't know. Are you familiar with this term, objectivist?
Never. No, that's the it's first a time whole. I've heard it.
It's a weird thing, yeah. But so these people are objectivists, libertarian, Ayn Rand proponents. So I assume not all libertarians are into Ayn Rand, but these right. ones are. And so I don't agree with them on a lot of things, and they have weird conversations sometimes, but it's a great little coffee shop. And I'd rather be, I just enjoy being around intelligent people. So I'd rather be around someone that's intelligent I might disagree with than necessarily someone I agree with that isn't, you know?
Right.
So,
yeah, hearing the same crap though, it's just so old, you know, if you can get some academics that are willing to discuss things in new ways, then it's fun. But if you just watch like the pundits do their thing, it's so boring.
Anyway. Yeah. The talking heads, yes. The only good talking heads is the band David Byrne. So here's Manaka, but it's really cool area. So this is where the Beaver, which, you know, our water from Mahoning flows in. But this is where it meets the Ohio, just down river from Pittsburgh. There's Pittsburgh. So it's a really critical area. And that's what our Pennsylvania and Ohio Canal did, is it connected Cleveland to Pittsburgh by means of making these waterways, including the Mahoning, taking the water and making it navigable for boats and moving not just people, but also the raw materials for the iron industry and then the finished product as well. Also a big part that put Youngstown on the map was when Briar Hill coal was discovered just upriver in the Briar Hill area between downtown and Girard. So having the canal there, you know, loaded up with coal, bring it down to the blast furnaces, make some pig iron. You can take that all the way to Pittsburgh or take it all the way to Cleveland. Mineral Ridge around here is where they originally found iron ore to use. But because of the canal, they were able to eventually tie into the Great Lakes to bring in better quality iron ore. And so it really, really, literally put us on the map. Bruce Springsteen would never sing about us if we didn't have all that. So, well, it'll be fun the rest of the semester evolving this. We want to get the exhibit part done as much as we can so that we can start the reaching out process to really get all of the stakeholders involved down here, get the community involved and the businesses that are currently occupying this ancient land to get them involved and know about the history well as we shape a brighter future. And I really think it is underway. Like, it's really cool just seeing how much development is here. We are on right by East Federal right here. And, you know, West Federal, you know, it's always been an active space, you know, for what we do going back, you know, back Cedars and Draft House is the oldest bar, continued operating bar down there. So West Federal has been established as a destination for a while. So it's really cool to see East Federal coming together as well between Youngstown Flea and Penguin and ANC Beverage. And like I said, this could be a really having the trail come in through Crab Creek Crossing could really be a great entrance to the city, and people can make their way down East Federal to West Federal, and I'll be there to take them around on Youngstown Pennycab. And
yeah. Any new stuff going on, like Silver's Building or anything downtown? You got any new insights down there?
The Silver's Building was bought. I don't know much about the woman who bought it, just that she owns, I think, the MediMart or Quick MediMart. But I guess that's not their plans for that building. I guess they want to renovate into some retail and maybe redo apartments upstairs. I'm not sure exactly what the plan is there. Other than that, I don't think there's been too much movement. It is frustrating to see the Lerner building still empty, though. That's been what I've heard about that is the people want to sit on that until, you know, that's the thing about real estate. They're not making more, so it's inevitably going to go up in price. So right. when they won $1 million for it years ago, you know, it's like it actually becomes realistic at some point. That, and just a shame about, I guess I don't know enough specifically. I don't want to take a dig on the people, but I know, I just made me think about like Detroit, where I know it was a specific purposeful plan of that you sit on land long enough, you buy it up, and you purposely keep it in squalor just so you can buy as much up and then redevelop and whatnot. I have
sometime in the future kind of thing.
I have some friends in Detroit who will who boycott going to the Fox Theater and to Little Caesars Arena because that's owned by a family that purposefully did that, you know, kept things slummish around there and bought up land and purposely tried to damage the community there just so they could buy all that up and build these arenas and stuff. So I think that there needs to be pressure. You don't, especially with historic buildings, you can't just let them sit because then they just decay. And so even if the land is worth something after that and eventually gets redeveloped, I still think there's a better resource in keeping the buildings. And plus, you see what's happened with that corner already. The CIC, which is another, you know, organization that I'm not a fan of, that it's called the Community Improvement Corporation, but I believe it purposefully kept Youngstown down and a lot of corrupt things over the years. But they sat, well, I could see it more complicated, but anyways, they ended up owning the Paramount Theater, which was then torn down, the great historic theater there. That's right next door. Now the Lerner right next to that, that's been empty for how many years? And besides for that, I mean, that's my block there with the Knox building. Besides from those spots, everything else is active. Next to that, you have the Imbibe there, which is they opened in 2005 when the early parts of the Youngstown Renaissance. Next to that, you have the Connection, which has been open for years as a retail spot. Next to that, you have the original place I helped remodel with being the original Lemon Grove, which is now a fake Irish bar. And then next to that is the deli. And next to that is where we are with the Knox building. And next to that is where V2 is in the federal building, which was designed by Daniel Burnham, who's one of the most famous architects in the world, who helped design the 1893 Chicago World's Fair. And right across from that on Phelps is the Wick Tower, which was also designed by Daniel Burnham's firm. So we can't let buildings sit empty. We got to stop letting historic buildings be turned into parking lots. We got to look at our history, and that's what we're doing.
There you go. All right, man.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.